Thank you, May, again. That address is KAZU, Post Office Box 206 in Pacific Grove, 93950. Here's May once again.
Okay, now we're going to get into a very light subject before we get to a heavy subject. It's not really light. Nothing on this program is light. But we're going to go to the comic strip, the newspapers. I don't know how many of you have been reading Steve Roper lately, and I wasn't until a few weeks ago. If there's a good world watcher out there who wants to photocopy the last 2 months of the comic strip, Steve Roper and Mike Nomad, that would save me time going to the library. I just started noticing the comic strips August the 8th. It's written by Overgaard and Saunders. But there's a series here where a gentleman has committed a murder on a movie set. And in essence, this is what is happening in the series. The cameraman of the helicopter comes down and kills an actor. And the lines Mike and Steve are talking on the comic strip, and one is saying, "I can prove Mr. Wonderful up there is out to kill Keller. They're going to kill him on a movie set." A line said, "How can that be?" And it said, "Just read these old times clippings and tell me if you see a familiar name." There's an accident on the movie set, and an actor is playing the part of a Nazi in the movie, but the person who's going to come down and kill him recognizes and knows he's a Nazi war criminal. So they're discussing the activity of how they had to kill him on the set. And one day this last week, on Wednesday the 11th, it said, "Read it loud, Laurie, so the guy on the balcony could hear it." And Laurie says, "Today the Pentagon confirmed another Nazi atrocity committed during the Battle of the Bulge." And then it goes on the platoon led by Lieutenant McCord. All right. And the Battle of Bulge is, of course, something that I'm very interested in. And then it goes on, the Lieutenant McCord is in this article with your father. And it continues each day. It goes on and on. It says, "Keller was the Kraut who ordered the massacre. The man on the movie set who's killed during the filming is actually the man who ordered the massacre at Malmedy, who killed this person's father years back." And it tells about how the person responsible for the murder on the set is called to a hospital, and he's told the whole story by a total stranger who's dying. I have all the different strips here. And they say, "Your old man was killed in World War II, McCord, nearly 8 years ago. This is a long time to carry a grudge." And then there's a picture of his dad's platoon. And he says he was out looking for firewood when a unit of the Waffen-SS captured the rest of the group in the woods. Now, there was a strong parallel with the filming of the set to the death of Vic Morrow, the actor, just several weeks ago on the set of Twilight Zone. And I can't save every article. I can always go back, which I did. I can't save everything on every murder. But there was a question of what happened on the movie set and a lot of controversial articles. At first, it was a pat story, helicopter crash in a park, and Mr. Morrow and two children were killed on the set. They were using a Bell helicopter. Interesting Bell helicopter, because Mr. Dornberger, the Nazi war criminal, he's dead now, as the director of Bell Aerospace in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and he was brought to this country instead of being hung at Nuremberg. He was working over in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. But the Bell helicopter came down, and there were parallels not only to the death of the actor and the comic strip going on simultaneously. And I didn't think too much of, I didn't know what to make. I thought it was just a natural accident, and maybe it was. But I have a few articles here about the scene in Hollywood and the investigation of Vic Morrow's death. One of them is from the Los Angeles Herald, "Twilight Zone probe points to a conspiracy. Evidence that two executives on the set were talking about their problems." It's about a possible conspiracy in the production, and they're going to investigate. This is the Herald Examiner, August the 3rd, a long article on how the helicopter plummeted to the ground and exploded, and there weren't supposed to be any explosives on the set at all, and the parents were assured it was all simulated, and all of a sudden, the plane falls down on Morrow, and he's dead. Another article from the Los Angeles Times, "Twilight Zone probe notes the crew's confusion. Now, they didn't know what was happening. It was a simulated Vietnam battle, and they weren't told that they were going to be shot at, and they lost control. And it was not intentional. What happened was not intentional, the newspaper says, but there's a lot of confusion. And another story, the sheriff reopens the Twilight Zone probe. Then another article about actor Vic Morrow has named a friend, George Brand, of Beverly Hills, to have $50,000 of his estate. And the rest of the money is in various banks, over one in Zurich, Switzerland. Evidently, Beverly Hills or Los Angeles isn't good or safe enough for Vic Morrow. And it reminds me of William Holden with his Swiss banks and his Kenya connections to Mr. Khashoggi from Lockheed. I don't know a thing about Vic Morrow. I don't see many movies and I don't watch television. So to me, it's a zero in terms of personalities. I could understand the death of the rock musicians or Elvis Presley or Janis Joplin or John Lennon. I knew what the people were saying and what they were doing, so that it became imperative to study how they died. I don't know a thing about Morrow, but the similarity between his death and the discussions in the comic papers is something to note. I haven't had this call to my attention since Chappaquiddick, and at that time there was a series that I can bring in and share to you. Probably it's so long ago many of you don't remember it, but it was about a man who wanted to run for the re-election in the Senate, and he's with a girl who's in a car accident and she drowns and his career is ruined, and how's the family going to cover it up? And this was all just about prior to the Chappaquiddick affair, where Mary Jo Kopechne was killed and Ted Kennedy couldn't get the nomination for 1972. The script was side by side. I got a call from a man in San Francisco this week, Thursday or Friday, and he wanted to start subscribing to the tapes. He's a novelist doing a story on computers, and he wanted to take the tapes to take real-life people that I describe, certain characters, and put them into his novels. And you can see how the fiction is taken from factual experiences, and if they take enough tapes and listen to back tapes of the particular broadcast and what I've studied, how he could develop a personality like Fritz Kramer, a secretary like Helene von Damm, who could work for the Nazis and for the Americans and be in a computer office, and how she could be brought to this country. All you have to do is change the names, and I'm sure that there's certain people knowing what's going on, but Steve Roper is an interesting something to watch. I don't think it's too important, but it might develop, because it's, as I say, it's the second time I noticed it. And just this last week, there was, I can't say the arrest, he's been arrested, that Royal Kenneth Hayes, that fellow that decapitated two people in Santa Cruz, he's been arrested. The woman with him has, all charges have been dropped. And he's the fellow from Hawaii with contacts in Minneapolis. He left a gun in Minneapolis after he did the crimes out here. And I'd written about his partner 8 years ago, 1974, working with the FBI. I did that in one of my published articles. Well, this Royal Kenneth Hayes, I mentioned a while back, you might not remember, was in the San Jose Mercury, March 28, 1982. He described the first killing he ever did. Now, this guy had 160 IQ, studied art and music and literature, and is a very well-educated person going to the University of Oregon. And in February 62, he killed his best friend, and he used words that sounded like mind control. He said he didn't want to do it. Of all the people who worked for him, it was his best friend, and he said, I had no way to do it. I didn't want to hurt him or eliminate him, but I had to do it. And his best friend was a man, Theodore Robert Ross, 54, a veteran of the Battle of the Bulge, who was working in an agency, a newspaper agency, with Hayes. So this young person out of college with amount of training and pretty sophisticated had to kill his best friend. And the article went out of the way to say the man he killed was in the Battle of the Bulge. Now, while I've been studying that area of military war, and I've been bringing it up every week or almost every week because it's so fascinating, there's more and more references and little things. There's very few people that are, say, murdered by a lone assassin or for a narcotic thing. And they say, well, he was at Iwo Jima, he was in Burma. This name pops out of nowhere, like in the newspaper or in the murder article from the San Jose Mercury. It jumps out at me. I may be missing some, I'm not seeing. But they go back to that date, and it seems that witnesses that were there were ordered to be murdered. Hitler had ordered every person that they took to be killed, and some of the survivors seem to be killed, and even it's important enough for a comic strip. And I did try to find the background on James McCord from Watergate, because they talk about Lieutenant McCord in the comic book, and his name runs through the entire era. On the back of his book, it just briefly says, James McCord for 25 years worked for the federal government from 1942 to 43. These are during the war years. He was in Washington and New York. He was in radio intelligence against Germans and Soviets. He was in flight. His flight duties during World War II took him in special places around the world. So he was a pilot in World War II. May not be the same McCord, but it seemed awfully funny to talk about Lieutenant McCord in that comic strip. So we'll just keep reading it and see what comes along. Now, there is an article that may not seem important for some of you who have not followed the era from Watergate, particularly to the present, but I'm sure it's going to influence a lot of us in time to come. And I sometimes point out certain power blocks that are fighting each other, because we just saw Great Britain fight Argentina over the Falklands. And why Great Britain wanted that was the control of the sea and the water. If you see the map of Antarctica and the oceans that connect down there, it's absolutely essential that Great Britain hold on to Antarctica. As a matter of fact, Otto Skorzeny, who was the engineer of the Battle of the Bulge in Malmedy, was sent by Adolf Hitler and Nazis to secure the Falklands for Argentina a long time ago. And after the war, his role was to try and secure the Falklands for Argentina. But up north, there's the North Circle, the Arctic, that I've never brought up. And there's a battle going on up there that is very, very important. And I won't get into the North Pole except for the conflict of two particular major forces fighting each other and their links to the past. And also, this story I briefly mentioned last week began bursting open with another murder, just like the Banco Ambrosiano boat with Roberta Calvi, the president of the bank, being killed in London. A man named Erskine Carter, the director of a company called Global Resources, when flying out of a window in New York City, April 16, 1982. This article I'm referring to now is from the Wall Street Journal, if you want to look it up, July the 20th, 1982. The title is The Change of Fortune. A proxy battle builds for a firm once scorned by its shareholders. Bear Stearns, that's a large corporate group of holding companies, the Bear Stearns Company, that represents large German banks and multinational corporations, wants control of another company called Global Natural Resources. So we have to get the teams clear now. Global Natural Resources headquarters are in New Jersey. And the Bear Stearns Group is an international group with bankers such as the Warburgs, who funded Hitler, and they want control of Global Resources. Now, the Global Resources originally had another name. It belonged to Robert Vesco in New Jersey, and it had control of $50 to $300 million current price of assets up in the North Arctic, in the Arctic Circle. There's as much as $50 million to $300 million for grabs as a starter. But also, you control the oceanways if you have the Arctic Circle at north. And it has to do with oil and so forth and a buildup. And a man who was in favor of giving the development of Global Natural Resources to this particular company, this man that I mentioned, Erskine Carter, when he died and went flying out the window, somebody got control of his proxy slips and gave them to the opponents who now want to take over the country. They delayed the decision from June until September. Now, Bear Stearns has the control of 1.2 million shares of proxy slips that belonged to Erskine Carter of Global Resources before he flew out of that 10th floor window in New York City. Global Resources is oil and gas exploration, similar up north to the Antarctica in the south. The offices are in New Jersey and also in Great Britain. Summit New Jersey, headquartered by a man named Frank Beattie. And there's millions of acres in Canada's Arctic Circle, millions of acres. I mentioned the Antarctica being the size of the United States plus Mexico. Now we're talking about the Northern Arctic. The global natural resources has been laying low since 1971. They've been very quiet. But it used to be called the Fund of Funds, an organization. Then in 1970, it became Investment Overseas, that's Bernie Kornfield. Now, Bernie Kornfield was working with Robert Vesco at the time that the Watergate came down, and they were also working with William Casey of the Security Exchange Commission. The Fund of Funds became Investment Overseas, and then it became the Global Resources. Now, Robert Vesco is floating around. He had taken $243 million from Bernie Kornfield, and he's floating around, never arrested. He's between the Bahamas and Nicaragua and Costa Rica, working close with his current administration, Richard Allen and William Casey. So his opponent, Kornfield, has decided to go with Bear Stearns in the fight to take the money out of Vesco's hands, to take it from Global Resources. Now, what I'm saying is that there was this corporation in New Jersey. They laid low for years, and then they were going to tap from $50 to $300 million of oil and gas. And in the meantime, one man holding a chunk of proxies goes flying out a window, and the proxies go to the opponents, who are not in New Jersey but who are in Germany, to take control of the Canadian Arctic Circle. Now, the Arctic leases were not yet developed. They were putting them off, and I'm sure they were putting them off until the oil prices went up and the scandals of Watergate subsided. According to the Wall Street Journal, Bernie Kornfield and Robert Vesco worked with Frank Beattie in Summit, New Jersey, and he held on to these stocks, and now Kornfield wants a comeback fighting Vesco. And what they're saying is, what is so disturbing about the fact of the Global Resources is the possibility that Robert Vesco might control the shares to pull the strings for Global Resources. Now, if you want to know about Robert Vesco and how he wants these hundreds of millions of acres in the Arctic Circle, I could be graphic and tell you about his role trying to take the Dominica Islands recently that was subverted, and also working with John Connolly and the grand Nazi organizations from Canada, the Ku Klux Klan. They were going to turn the Dominica into a haven for narcotics and prostitution and Nazi publications to go all over the world. This is Robert Vesco. And one of the things they were going to do was to go to Africa and bring black people to Dominica Island to shoot them as hunting. Animals aren't interesting enough. Deers aren't interesting enough. Killing seals or outside of Canada, or penguins in Argentina. People who love the natural wildlife are so outraged when animals are killed. And yet, they must be reading the same morning papers I am about Robert Vesco and Dominica Islands. I can bring you the dates and the times that these exposés came out. And there's this total silence about this operation of Vesco. Now, would you let a man like that have hundreds of millions of dollars in the Arctic Circle above Canada with unknown faceless corporate heads who aren't even named? Now, Vesco was once a director of Global Resources. He set it up. After Watergate and taking from investment overseas company his $243 million, he went, as I say, to Costa Rica and Nicaragua. Pardon me, it was $224 million, but he parlayed that into other millions of dollars. And there's been no change. They were waiting until he could tighten up. People would forget who he was, and probably maybe he would have had his Dominica Island by now, and they wanted another stronghold. Well, Bear Stearns came in, and as the Wall Street Journal said, they're good at proxy wars themselves. It is a war when one of the men with so many proxy slips goes flying, as I say. So the Global was staying quiet for a while, and in come Bear Stearns, and who do they represent? The M.M. Warburg, Brinkman, Wirtz & Company, German bankers. And this is why I want to know the bank that Helene von Dahm's husband works for in Germany? Is it one that Hallmar Schacht from Hitler's bank had, or the Schroeder Bank, or is it the M.M. Warburg Brinkmann Wirtz & Company? Because is the woman making all the appointments in the White House keeps the same name as a banker in Germany who's working in this can of wolves, in this kind of an operation? You see, she's so closely associated with George Bush of the CIA, and who had more expertise than to, say, float people out of windows for the past 30 years and get the proxy slips into the hands of a German bank? Who has the expertise for that except for the CIA? The KGB can't even pull something like this. So Bear Stearns is representing M.M. Warburg, one of the big bankers that funded Adolf Hitler to begin with, and Warburg, Brinkmann, Wirtz & Company, the German bankers. And they are trying in this proxy battle to take over completely from the Vesco gang. And going into that side is Bernie Kornfeld with the German bankers. Now, this cast of characters would be more interesting if some of you would go to the library and get books, biographies on Robert Vesco, and some on Bernie Kornfeld. He wrote one, Do You Sincerely Want to Be Rich? There are good biographies out about these men and these banks, but particularly these men. And you get the visual picture of those people opposing each other, in case you were too young or too old or weren't aware of this at the time of Watergate and the role they played. Because, again, they work closely with William Casey, who is the director of the CIA at the present time. And it is for a monopoly of oil and minerals and gas in the Canadian Arctic up in that area. Now, the Bear Stearns brokerage has lots of millions of shares. They're going into this confrontation pretty soon. And the question raised in the Wall Street Journal are, who are the stockholders? You have a hidden group of stockholders that Mr. Beatty will not and is not able to locate. So we're talking about 50 to 300 million with a team of track record that is notorious. And I'll read some more about the Global Stearns Group. In criminal investigations and hanky-panky going on in this country, the hidden stockholders, they can't locate. They're laying low, but they have a choice piece of real estate, say, equal to a hunk of Antarctica, certainly bigger than the Falklands, containing strategic areas, and the potential is tremendous for controlling oceans, minerals, oil, and having their own little, what they say, global resources. They're not kidding. It's called global resources right now. Now, people helping Bear Stearns against global resources are the Lehman Brothers and Kuhn Loeb. You know those names. The Hambray Bank of London. That was linked to Michael Sindona, Roberta Calvi, and the Royal Family of England. Their money is tied up in the Hamburg Bank, and that also was one of the banks that funded Adolf Hitler. D.F. King & Company in New York is the firm hired in this proxy struggle. They're trying to get a vote to see who controls all of these goodies. The Bear Stearns want to take over, or the global resources and the global resources made a quick move to break up some of their holdings to acquire a company in Houston, Texas called McFarland Oil. They were going to pay them $44 million in cash notes in exchange for 3,250,000 shares in Global. So quickly, they were trying to get their gang together by incorporating with an oil company in Houston. Bear Stearns blew the cover of the Houston operations, the Wall Street Journal said, and said, today is the day we're going to take our gloves off. We're going to go in and hit Mr. Beatty of New Jersey with the whole Vesco stuff. So there's not only four gorillas in the White House, but you have the transatlantic confrontation where Kornfeld and the multinational bankers that put Hitler in power are fighting Vesco and the drug dealers and the international swindlers in America. And it is, if it weren't sad, it would be funny, and it really is funny, because they can't handle each other's problems. See, they waited, the global resources waited 11 years thinking, now we'll pull out our secret stockholders. We'll wait till the Watergate wears over. We're safely, we got Reagan in, we got everything we want, an attorney general that won't expose us. In the meanwhile, the system is coming apart. It's getting unglued, and each one is willing to tell stories on each other. Now, the Bear Stearns said, we are reliable. Besides the German banks, we've got the finest people for the proxy election, and we'll sever ties with scum people like Robert Vesco. So they want to bring W. Marvin Watson in. He was a former U.S. Postmaster General. He's the former Occidental Petroleum Corporation director and was president of Occidental Petroleum. Now, that brings in Arm & Hammer and another can of worms you wouldn't believe, but that it gets more complicated because Marvin Watson is from Arm & Hammer's group linking up with the German multinationals for the oil up in the Arctic. They want Marvin Warner. He's the former U.S. ambassador to Switzerland, chairman of the Great American Banks Incorporation, at a time when all the banks are going broke and the Swiss banks are under investigation for the drug dealing, the narcotics, the dummy fronts, the collapsing of the legitimate banks can be directly caused and blamed to the setup of the Swiss banks after World War II for skimming money, and again tying it into the Vatican, to the churches, to organized crime. Another man with Bear Stearns is John Bertoglio, Bertoglio, major stockholder and director of the Enox Incorporated in Oklahoma. Now, I read the Enox, E-N-N-E-X, company in the news this week, and before I came to the station, I couldn't find what article I found it in, but that is another huge scandal that will link to this. So if any of you go to the library, look up the New York Times, the Enox in Oklahoma, at a time when the Penn State Bank has collapsed in Oklahoma. This fellow is involved. He is founding member of the U.S. Football League, owner of the Birmingham, Alabama Football League, part owner of the New York Yankees, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I told you a little bit about him last week. Now, there is this battle going on. The Global Resources takes each one of the men I've mentioned and mentions Mr. Warner, his involvement with federal charges and schemes to defraud federal customers, and a bank in Fort Lauderdale, a problem with the Century Bank there, and scandals trying to take over Marshall Fields and other corporations. The Global Resources attacks Mr. Bertoglio and James Ling of the Enox Company in Oklahoma for judge criticizing their tactics. They were brought before the courts for attempted to acquire Texas International, and there was subterfuge there. They made an out-of-court settlement. They've been in trouble distributing proceeds of Texas International with assets of $100 million. And the Global Resources Group are attacking the captains of the Bear Stearns Group of being involved with corruptions, problems in courts, failed to meet financial obligations. What you have are a group of thieves fighting another group of thieves, except one is passing themselves off as blue chip. Now, later in programs to come, we'll go more into these characters like Bernard Cornfield and Robert Vesco, but the Wall Street Journal found it important to have an article on this. And again, what set the news off for all of us in the paper was the murder of a man who held over a million shares of proxy. The system is getting so desperate that they have to even kill the front men, take their proxy and let the chips fall and hope you won't notice it. But the method of assassinations to gain control, whether it's the company or the country, and the use of narcotics as the incentive to gain millions of dollars and then parlay it into oil money or mineral money, or the grab for a landmass in Canada that is so huge, the Arctic Circle in Canada. The implications are tremendous, but the loser is us, because we pay a high price for the oils. These people will have lands for experimentation, for exploitation that nobody can examine, just as Antarctica is a military base, nobody can visit it privately. They have an area to continue the Fourth Reich. The people behind these groups work directly with Hitler's agents, Reinhard Gehlen, and Hitler's intelligence agents, and they connected narcotics money with oil money with religious institutions such as the Vatican and Swiss banks. So when they fight each other, you get a glimpse of what they're doing. You can't get it by walking into a boardroom meeting, but when the Wall Street Journal has an article like this, you get a glimpse, just as when Watergate came down, how one faction fights each other. It was not Democrats against Republicans. It was the Republican Party fighting members of other members of the Republican Party and getting caught at some of their dirty tricks. Well, it's a complicated story, that one on global resources, but because it goes back to Bernie Kornfeld and Vesco, and because Vesco's very much alive, floating around with hundreds of millions still, and very much a political figure in islands in the Caribbean and now wanting the Arctic Circle, the hidden people on that board are not recognized yet. Keep your eyes open, and anything that falls, and there will be articles, send them to me in case I miss them, and